Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. There you
were. Jeff Calkins is back from a reunion, and he joins now from the Daily Memphian. He's a columnist there also. Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11. Right here on 92.9 FM ESPN on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how was the reunion? Did you have fun?
The reunion was good, but then we went hiking in the mountains, and I got a terrible fever. So I was hiking and feverish, and then I was huddled in a sleeping bag, pools of sweat pouring off of me. So that part was less pleasant, I'll be honest. Hiking and while feverish is not the best combination of activities. So I wouldn't recommend that.
Fever from what? Just
I don't really know. I took because I was going to see my sister, and she is I'm 61, and I'm the eighth of nine. She is the oldest of nine. So I don't know how old she is exactly because we can't keep track of nine kids like that. But I did take a COVID test once I got to her house. And at that point anyway, I did not have COVID. It's the kind of thing that would made me think, I have COVID. I have a sudden boom, out of nowhere, but it didn't appear I had COVID. So there's no actual analysis of it. I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm trending the right direction.
Is this a famous question where I get to ask you, did you drink enough water? Were you living a healthy lifestyle?
I drank some water, plenty of water. Yeah, I think I drank plenty of water, but I could probably stand to drink more water.
Understood.
It's also honestly when you get like it's funny how it works. When you start up north and then you move down south and then I headed up to the north for a week, I was just happy to get back where it's warm.
Yep.
And it's sort of springish up there, but it's 50s, right? And there's for the first part of the week, it was in the 80s and whatnot, but the later part of the week was 50s. And I'm just kind of to the point now where I like that nice blanket of heat and humidity that comforts us down here and keeps us feeling warm and toasty. So it was nice to just get off the plane. But then that's the other thing. So yesterday, let me vent for just a moment.
Yo, I got it. You got it.
So I was flying from Boston to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to Memphis, American Airlines. And the Boston to Philadelphia flight was moved back, was delayed. And so it appeared I wasn't going to make my connection. I was told I wasn't going to make my connection. So I had to change the flight to a much later Boston to D.C. to Memphis flight. And but then after I did that, all of a sudden the flight from Boston to Philadelphia was no longer delayed, and I would have made the connection. So I went back to try to switch back, and of course by then it was filled up, so I couldn't switch back. And then, guess what?
It's nasty.
Then the Boston to Washington was delayed such that I was going to miss my connection.
So you did you learn from the first time? You didn't.
We made the connection by 8 minutes.
Okay.
So that works. It worked out fine.
But you probably didn't get in your group, the group you were supposed to board the airplane with.
No, you didn't get the seats. You had two middle seats and group eight. And you would think they would move you up in the group if they mistreat you like that. But that's not how it ever seems to work. And so anyway, I got back, but it was a long day of travel. But it reminded me of something that is invariably true. Whenever I come back to Memphis, I'm happy to be back in Memphis.
Yes.
And that is true once again.
What year reunion was this, by the way?
My 40th college
40th
reunion.
Rock on. And they, you did send me this as soon as you got there, and I guess it was laying on a hotel bed.
No, it wasn't on a hotel. They gave us that was my own little, I stayed in dorm rooms.
Oh, really? Was it nice dorms? Do they have nicer than you remember?
Honestly, they've kind of taken all the charms out of it. I never stayed in, the whole time I was in college, I never had a bathroom down the hall. It was always a bathroom in a suite that was, off the, that was, walk into the suite and then there's a living room and a couple of two or three bedrooms and a bathroom inside the suite, right? So there was never a bathroom. The cliche long hall bathroom dorm whatever. I never had that in college, never once. And now what they've done is they've gutted these dorms and they've put in long hallways and sterile little sterile cubicles. And staying in this little tiny sterile cubicle made me think that if I had mental stresses in my college years, which a lot of people do, this room would exacerbate them. But anyway, they gave us koozies.
Yes, they gave you koozies.
They gave
us
covered koozies.
Have you given it away yet? That's where I was going.
I took a photo of the Harvard koozies and sent it to Gabe to show that that's how far we've fallen up there. They give out koozies.
They know it's important. Have you given it away?
Yeah,
or did you actually pocket it? Did you? What are you doing with it? I'll take
it
off your hands
home?
If you need me to.
I think I might have brought. I don't even know if I brought it home. I'll double check. I'm not sure.
I gotta love that because I think this whole conversation came up when you said I hate when I go to an event and they give out. That's like when they give out gift buddy bags. They give out goodie bags, and your least favorite thing to receive is a koozie.
Yeah.
And your alma mater gave you one.
Is when I, anyway, so it was a good trip, though. It wasn't a good trip because I was miserable. But so let's be honest. That's me putting a brave face on it was not a great trip, but it's great to be home.
Yep. Talking with Jeff Calkins. So you get home, and we have a lot of news to talk about. I want to start with today, though. PGA Tour and LIV are going to squash litigation, combine a commercial business and their rights into a new, yet-to-be-named for-profit company. PGA will try to remain nonprofit, but Jay Monahan and how this has transpired, he's a complete fool for how his messaging was at the beginning, and now he takes the money that he was shaming people for taking.
It's kind of appalling. I mean, literally a year ago, you had Jay Monahan saying, I know two families of people who died in 9/11. And I just want to say that if you play golf for the PGA Tour, you never have to apologize for who you're playing golf with. Now, literally, the PGA Tour is going to be run by, the chairman of the board is going to be the head of the Saudi Public Investment Fund, the chairman of the board of this new enterprise. And the PGA, I think a lot of people don't understand this, and some of it will have to yet play out, and we'll see how it works. Like right now, anyway, if you're under the impression that Brooks Koepka is going to show up in Memphis this year, disabuse yourself of that notion. If you are a LIV golfer, you are still a LIV golfer. If you're a PGA golfer, you are still a PGA golfer. If you're a LIV golfer who want to reapply for reinstatement, there will be an elaborate process, and very clearly they will want people to reapply and get reinstated, and so there will be people, players who are reinstated. there will be enough fines involved in that that it will somewhat mollify the players who didn't take the money, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just, I mean, for purposes of the greed of Jay Monahan and the powers that be, it's a complete hypocrisy. But from the perspective of, if you're thinking this is just one big world tour now, that's not true. That's not how it's going to be run for now. There's the LIV events, there's the PGA events, there's the European tour events, essentially, and that is still being is still going to be structured that way, at least for now. The level of hypocrisy here, you didn't want, and you made it very clear that you thought that any player who took the money was subhuman.
Yep.
And now you've taken the money?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of staggering, really.
And the nastiness of how he did the 9/11 families, I just can't get over. Like, I know he's going to be the CEO of the new enterprise, supposedly. Somebody need to call for, try to put public pressure. That can't go forward that way with what he was doing.
In the end, the players would have enough of a say and would be sufficiently disgusted with him.
Well, but they had no idea that this was going down.
No, I know they had no idea.
Right?
And by the way, like, people say, well, everybody knew. No, but like, I don't know if FedEx, the company, knew, right? But the reports are today that the TV partners didn't know, right? And if the TV partners didn't know, I mean, that's normally you don't do anything without bringing the TV partners
yep.
in, right? And the TV partners didn't know. So I don't know who knew and who didn't know, and I think a lot of things are still to be sorted out. But very, very, very few people knew. And that's, I mean, it was absolutely stunning. I do wonder how much the litigation, the ongoing litigation, had to do with it, because I was never, while LIV Golf was pathetic in terms of the level of interest, the TV ratings, if they're even call them TV ratings, the one thing that it had going for it was, I think its legal claims were probably on reasonably solid
yep.
ground. I have no doubt that the PGA was doing some anti-competitive things and might have been found to have done some anti-competitive.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thanks. And so it's possible that that was part of what nudged them to do this, and partly that it just got to be the money was too great. But it is kind of remarkable. And by the way, I think this is true. I think you're now to the point, I think public investment funds, I read this today, didn't follow up on it, but should, can own NBA teams, or at least
yep.
portions of NBA teams.
They just bought
wonder what, like, it, you know, if you're going to buy golf, which is what the Saudis have done here. They've just bought golf, right? why couldn't they say, you know what, let's own the Mavericks? You know, or whatever. Let's own the.
Well, and this opens up this opens up the door for that, because now, like, I'm not saying that the floodgates haven't already been open, but this certainly, I mean, this gets it going. You've seen golf as a whole, the PGA Tour, accept this money. It's more acceptable to take the bad blood money.
There is also a reasonable question, just to play devil's advocate. And this would have applied when you're talking about the LIV golfers too, though. Like, the U.S. does business with Saudi Arabia as
yep.
a government, right? FedEx, if you look at yeah. FedEx has trucks in Saudi Arabia. It developed, you know. So are we asking for, like, what level of China? How's the human rights record of China, right?
Yep.
We do plenty of business with China. So obviously, with Khashoggi's slaughter, inside an embassy in D.C., you know, there were some very high-profile human rights abuses, but it is kind of an interesting question of, you know, what we demand from some countries and not other countries, or maybe the reason that it was so offensive when it comes to Saudi Arabia is we know the whole intent of this was to sort of to whitewash, to sports wash their ills. And so maybe that's one reason why it struck people as so offensive.
But, yeah, but it's also like you think of it as a middleman when you're taking money from corporate donors who then take money from countries that have human rights violations. This is just, you're cutting out the middleman, right?
I guess you're like cutting, that, that's, you're that's, cutting that's, out the
middleman. But yes, it's hard to. I have always had trouble with that, even when Live Golf was
right.
first
Where do you draw
posed
the line?
As what, an idea.
What level of purity do we expect from whom about what? Yes, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was stunning. It was absolutely stunning news. And then the larger question is then what does it mean for the Memphis tournament? It doesn't mean anything for the Memphis tournament this year. It doesn't feel
right.
Next year, the Washington Post reported that the PGA Tour was basically on the verge of releasing their dates for next year. And according to the Washington Post, they said those are, quote unquote, not expected to change for next year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that was the report in the Washington Post today. I think the larger question, I talked to Jack Sammons, who does such a good job as general chair of the tournament, and he said, listen, he was stunned like everybody else. Like Jack had no idea. Someone texted him and said, hey, PGA Tour and LIV Golf are merging. And he said, ha, 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 yeah, right. And then he turned on the news, and sure enough.
Yeah.
So he was as stunned as anyone. As he said, FedEx is, you know, one of the best, most powerful sponsors in the world of sports. So as long as FedEx is invested in golf, the Memphis tournament will be a significant tournament. Who knows what that will look like? You know, we don't know exactly how that will play out. But as long as FedEx is deeply involved, the Memphis tournament will flourish in some way, shape, or form. I think it's an interesting question as to whether FedEx will, you know, how I mean, right now we see various cost cutting at FedEx as they are making let's just say advances in their efficiencies over there even now, and so you wonder if at some point they'll say, okay, this FedEx Cup stuff's been great, but been there, done that, and let's save some money. I have heard nothing to suggest that's true, but it feels like everything's up for grabs.
Yeah,
I think the larger thing to do is to say, all right, we got the tournament this year. We know we have the tournament this year. We know it's going to be the second week of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and so let's go out there and get a Prado pup and enjoy the golf.
Yeah, but with the corporate donors in general that have been part of the PGA Tour this entire time, including FedEx, what they would have to ask is, are they needed with the Saudi Public Investment Fund and the capital they're going to put forward? Like, that's where they would have to come. What power do we get to keep even with our donation?
I think even the Saudis would like to have other people kick in. Like, you could be rich and still say, you know what? If we don't have to support this, if we have a few corporate sponsors, maybe we can then go buy a basketball team too with our money or whatever, you know. So now it's a reasonable question. FedEx is the main sponsor, you know, of the PGA Tour. Will they like being number two to the Saudis? Right.
That's
an interesting question, and I don't know the answer to that. So I don't know that the Saudis wouldn't like FedEx's money. I suspect they would. I don't know that FedEx will. But as I said, there are FedEx trucks right now rolling down the streets in Saudi Arabia. So it's not like FedEx hasn't done business in and with Saudi Arabia. But all of these are reasonable questions going forward. There's no question that's true.
Yeah, but I think we need to, for Jay Monahan, I don't want to see him considering this past 2 to 3 years. I don't want to see him have power over this whole thing. I want that to be.
No, that's a bit. The Jay Monahan stuff is appalling.
Yes.
I mean, we are often aware of hypocrisy, but rarely is it so blinding, you know.
Yeah.
And rarely does it happen like literally in the space of a year. You're saying one thing, and a year later,
and he comes across as insanely soft in this whole process.
Incredible.
Full sellout.
Incredible.
Yep. Talking with Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on Twitter. Now, you missed most of the DeAndre Williams saga. We're waiting for an answer. It's crazy to think about. But did you get to catch up on it today?
Oh yeah. One of the nice things was that, you know, while I was gone, the John Morant thing wasn't settled.
Yep.
DeAndre is out there. I mean, before I left, Jason and John were talking about whether DeAndre might come back. And then there was a report that he wouldn't, and that turned out to be false. And now they're hoping, obviously, that he can come back and get the extra year. I think it would be fantastic. And it's one of the it's one of the good things about name, image, and likeness, which is, of course, isn't name, image, likeness at all. As Josh Pastner said in the column that John Martin wrote, he said, it's kind of funny that we still call it name, image, and likeness because it has nothing to do with name, image, and likeness anymore. It's literally, and I don't even mean this disparagingly. I mean, just let's say what it is.
And I'm sorry that you said anymore. That's striking to me too. So
there was once this idea.
Quick. Like, it's really quick to say anymore.
Were that a player should be able to prosper off their name, image, and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a university to deny? You know, it used to be this sort of quaint. Hey, my picture was in a calendar, and they wouldn't. The NCAA, you know. Slap me for trying to sell my picture in a calendar or something, or in a video game or whatever. And that was sort of the legal underpinnings to it. And then it just became, and I don't even say that it's wrong, but it became simply we will offer you X dollars to come play for our school.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is. The upside of it, a couple upsides. One is players are getting a share of the money that always just went to coaches in the universities. Secondly, players like DeAndre Williams, who aren't particularly coveted pro prospects for one reason or another, either because of their physical limitations or their age or the way their game works or whatever it is, can decide, you know what, I can make just as much or more money being back in college, so why don't I do that? And at a time when we lament one-and-dones, now you might have a chance. You just might have a chance to see DeAndre Williams yet again, and I think that would be cool.
In an immediate NCAA tournament team if he does. And I think now, even with the David Jones commitment to Memphis, from a talent perspective, they're right there back at the top of the AAC. Penny, just when the calendar gets later, he gets better at doing his job on the recruiting
team. I think that's right. I think if DeAndre gets eligible with David Jones, I think you've then got to – a team that you can project to be in the NCAA tournament, and that's fun because it's been a bit of a bumpy ride.
It's been wild, but Penny always. I mean, the DeAndre Williams.
But it is
thing.
Funny. You say Penny always does it, and he always does. But even he, in his comments, yesterday, 2 days ago at the golf tournament, even he acknowledged that they did not accomplish what they wanted to because of money.
Right.
Like, he acknowledged, he can't snap his fingers and just make the money appear
to get done what he wants. If DeAndre comes back, you'd imagine that the whole NIL conversation, that, I mean, he's got money waiting for him, I would imagine.
I do think it's probably, if you're going to a booster, I think it's probably easier to sell DeAndre, you know. I mean, literally, people know what DeAndre brings to the table. People like DeAndre. If you're going to a booster and saying, listen, I need some NIL money so we can bring DeAndre Williams back.
Yeah.
I think that's probably an easier sell than, you know, pick a random college transfer who you think is going to be something. And I think that's, and we talked about this return of an investment if you're a booster. And I think it's pretty obvious with DeAndre Williams that you're, what you're getting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr., last thing I want to talk about. He went on the podcast P, It looks like Paul George has a podcast as well, says that he thinks they'll be better having dealt with Ja and being humbled last year. What do you view there? What do you think there? And also, I do want to get your opinion before I let you go on Adam Silver and what he had to say before the NBA Finals and what you think that ultimately means for Ja, if there's any changes, in your opinion.
Well, in terms of Jaren, I just thought Jaren was being a good friend and teammate.
Right.
I don't put any particular stock. I don't mean it like I don't believe what he said or anything. I just mean I would hope he'd say Ja's great, we're great, and he's going to be great, and he'll be fine, and he's young, and there's a lot of pressure on the kid, and I would have hoped he would say that, and he did say that. And mm-hmm. So there was nothing to me much to that. I guess it would have been news if he hadn't said that. Right.
Right.
In terms of the Silver stuff, I'll be honest, when I saw that up in Boston flash across my phone, I was like, ooh, this could be ominous. But then, you know, then you hear that Adrian Wojnarowski said, keep the number 17 in mind. And like, that's the ballpark of what we were thinking anyway. So it could be a possibility where people have so worked themselves into a frenzy, speculating and wondering and thinking about the hammer coming down.
Yeah.
That when, like, a 17 game hammer is actually a pretty decent hammer, you know?
Yeah.
And, but when the hammer falls, it won't feel for a lot of people, it may not feel like a hammer falling, because they had already talked themselves into him getting 40, which, mm-hmm. you know, I still go back to, I would have had a hard time with certainly more than 30. And if you really get right down to it, I think it's hard to justify, like it's hard to exactly say what he did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he flashed a gun.
Well, according to the Breakfast Club, I don't know if you saw this toy gun, apparently. That's what there's reports out there that, and obviously probably not sourced all that well, but the Breakfast Club, who's a very popular very popular morning show, they were talking about Ja Morant's team said that it was a toy gun, which doesn't really make that much difference.
I'll be honest. Like,
makes no difference.
If you're being that clever, like, just stop. You know? just stop. At some point, the jokes aren't really doing any good, if that's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, so... yeah, I when I heard the comments, but the other thing that I did notice in those comments was, particularly sort of towards the end, he said, our hope is to, basically what I had written in one of the columns, I've written so many Jack columns recently, where I said what I think they should be aiming to do is come up with the right mix of consequences and support to get Ja to where we want him to be. And I think... I still think that should be the goal. It's not just how many games does this offense deserve, because this offense is such a weird offense anyway. Like, how do you know, right? So it's like, no, the question really should be, okay, what's required to get Ja to take this seriously, to really have an impact, to let him know that this can't happen again, and what other things can we do, can we put in place to make sure, you know, he makes real progress and isn't just, you know, doing a drive-through car wash therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suspect that when we hear what's happening, it won't just be 17 games. It'll be 17 games and there'll be caveats, you know, provided this or,
right.
you know, will require him to do this. You know, during that, whatever. And I think, and the other thing, honestly, was striking about it was how much he talked about in his statements, he continuously referred to the Players Association.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like, you know, we had imagined this tug of war between that could be happening between the Players Association and the league if you were bringing the hammer down on him. And the way they were talking about it, he was talking about it, made it sound like that there was at least something of a united front between the Players Association and the league, which there should be, because everyone should want the same thing here,
right.
which is Ja to be his best self. And so hopefully the discipline or whatever it is, is something that does that.
Yeah. And it sounded like more with Adam Silver thing, they all agreed, the Players Association and the NBA as a whole, commissioner's office, that they'd agree to wait till after the NBA finals to announce it. It didn't sound like they had a whole lot of back and forth on how many games it was going to be, but we'll see. We'll see. The additional information part of it, too, I'm curious about. And obviously the NBA is going to have to go out of their way to explain the penalty in general. So it's all up for grabs. But glad
next week it sounds like, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. But glad to have back. Feel better. We'll do it again tomorrow.
See you.
Yes, sir. That's Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on Twitter. Daily Memphian columnist. Also, Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, Oxbow is the family-owned and operated retail store that has been making waves in East Memphis for over a decade. They have some new arrivals every single week. Memphis-themed gifts and tees, vintage vinyl shows up there. You have sports memorabilia for the diehard sports fans, hunting and outdoor gear for the adventurous souls. Make sure you get over there for all of those needs right there. It's right there off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. They have a crawfish truck right there. If you want some crawfish, they take care of you. It's a nice two-story storefront. They have everything you could possibly imagine in all different sizes, their clothing selection, and you can pat Earl the dog on the head. They try to make you at home, and they are very, very helpful when you show up. Again, it is off of Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. But they also have your Memphis Tigers and SEC favorites in there. The Gentile apparel that I have latched onto. Dylan always makes fun of me. Dylan Waxler over there makes fun of me for always pushing out the Gentile. But Gentile, the pants, the shorts, the shirts, they're all beautifully fitting. They even do well for my big body. So make sure you get over there in all sizes. That Gentile apparel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Main. You can make sure you get over and get all of that stuff, whether you're searching for that perfect outfit, unique gifts, vintage vinyl, sports memorabilia, hunting and outdoor essentials. Local Oxbow has you covered. And also, here's another thing I'll do for you. 20% off if you go to their online store. Their online store is shopoxbow.com. Again, that is shopoxbow.com. You go to check out. You enter my promo code, TheGabeShow. That's all one word, G-A-B-E, TheGabeShow. You can get 20% off your online order. But if you're not trying to go online, again, get over there off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. Shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, there's plenty upcoming on the Gabe Kuhn Show, so stick around.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Feel as their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
I know it can get tiring. I understand. But we do have more realignment discussion to get to, and that has to do with the Big 12. And Brett Yormark, we've talked about Gonzaga and UConn and the strength there in basketball that Brett Yormark, the new commissioner of the Big 12, wants to build up. But he added the four schools. They're up to 12 now in the Big 12. And he actually held a Zoom conference with reporters on Friday, last Friday, after the Big 12 spring meetings in West Virginia. And he basically reiterated the desire that he has in making the Big 12 a higher basketball power. He said, "We do see the upside in basketball moving forward for all the right reasons. We think it's undervalued, and there's a chance for us to double down as the number one basketball conference in America, but football is the driver, and we all know that. Of course it's the driver. There's no question about it." But here's where the question comes in for me. When you're talking about UConn and Gonzaga, Gonzaga is basketball only, no football program. UConn would be more enticing for them because you could lift up their football's genuine footprint, if you will, nationally. Now, UConn has to decide if they still want the Big East footprint. The reason the Big East has had their way with basketball is because of UConn's reemergence under Danny Hurley. Now, I do think one of the more interesting bits of information he dropped on the Zoom meeting is that he thinks there's strength in numbers, but obviously that begs the question, what number are we talking about? You're at 12 right now after adding UCF, Cincinnati, Houston, and BYU. Where does that number stop? We're talking about the Big 12 trying to take in some of these Pac-12 schools, whether it's Utah, Arizona, Colorado. They're trying to bring those in. Colorado and Arizona are being rumored there already. What is that number that you stop at? The future of college athletics is, we're in a very bizarre spot considering the Power Two and the SEC and the Big Ten. And we've always heard, we continue to hear, that at some point maybe we'll have super conferences. So if the Big 12 is trying to make sure that they're here for the long term and trying to make sure that they have a say in college athletics matters with the money they have in their corner, with the amount of schools, power schools they have in their corner to remain a power conference, what is the number they stop at? You're at 12 right now. You could theoretically, you're talking about Arizona and Colorado. You add them in, that's 14. UConn, Gonzaga, that would be 1.5. You're at 15.5. What is the number that you stop at? If we're considering what we think to be the future of college athletics and big super conferences, and you think the power of numbers is what makes you the best, where do you stop and who else gets involved in these conversations? Now, I think the wheels will start spinning here relatively soon, in the next year or so, on schools going to join the Big 12. Where there's smoke, eventually there will be fire. But we have to have some clarity. We have to have some clarity and understanding. And I think if we're talking about big conferences, conferences trying to go the super conference route, I still think, as much as people get tired of me trying to bang the drum, you have to put it out there in the world for it to happen ultimately. Where would that leave Memphis? Where would that leave the University of Memphis? Can they somehow angle their way into the Big 12 or some other conference in a super conference alignment? I think there's actually a way in, but the university has to find a way in. And the investment we're seeing right now here in this city, into the university, into Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, into various projects, I think there's a way in, but you have to angle yourself, and you have to continue to be outward about it. Laird Veach and all of the Penny Hardaway, Ryan Silverfield, they have to be sellers of their particular programs to get the attention that they need to ultimately get there. Now, there's so many questions, not a lot of answers. I'm curious, though, Connor, when we talk about super conferences, when we talk about Big 12, what's the number that makes sense? Because 14 is a weird number, considering it. And then if you have the extra two, if you had, 14, I'm counting in Arizona, Colorado, because that's the newfound one today. If you add Gonzaga and you add UConn, how many more do you add on top of that to get your strength and numbers that you so desire if you're Brett Yormark?
My answer would be whatever number includes Memphis.
Yes, exactly. 20, 22, 24, whatever gets them over the finish line. But I am in a very interesting mind space trying to work through. I think everyone is trying to work out how this ultimately ends. And again, I think the wheels are spinning. I think in the next year we'll start to see more realignment news. And then we'll see where the University of Memphis is in regards to that. But this has been a lot of conjecture, a lot of reporting, and not a lot of movement thus far. Now, we have small talk on the way. And Apple has released a new product. And if you haven't seen already, it's Apple Vision Pro. It's virtual reality, but also augmented reality. I'll explain what that is on the other side, but the price tag is probably what we need to discuss on the forefront. We'll be back with Small Talk on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Coming up tomorrow morning, it's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, KJM, weekdays from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station. Every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
So we've been hearing about virtual reality and augmented reality for a while now, the metaverse, everything else. But Apple has released a new product, or is on the precipice of releasing a new product. That would be the Apple Vision Pro. And it's beyond normal virtual reality. Connor, I'm sure you've done the virtual reality stuff, like the Oculus and everything else, like playing video games on it. It really is cool.
Good time.
It really is cool. It's a little wild. It's a little wild when you first put the headset
it's
on and understand. Yes. And then when you take it off, you see where it'd be a problem. But beyond sort of the virtual reality, Oculus, anything similar to that, this will be a mix of virtual reality and augmented reality. And for those that don't know what augmented reality is, it means that they can superimpose images over real life. So you can see through the headset and they can drop a dinosaur here, a very realistic looking dinosaur. And you can look at that and you can basically walk around in your normal everyday life with images superimposed upon them. 3D, you can walk past them, do the whole thing. Now, what they have said their plan is, it's the idea to be a new type of computer. New type of computer. And what does a normal computer run you these days? A nice one. I mean, probably it's up there. But I think they had a little summit. They had a investors meeting, if you will, and they had a bunch of people there. And they said for the low, low price of $3,499, You can get your hands on the Apple Vision Pro, their new product as well. And I love the reaction. This has gone viral on Twitter, on social media as a whole. But this was the reaction from all of the people at the summit, if you will.
Apple Vision Pro starts at $34.99.
It will be available. Run that back one more time. Come on, I love to hear people's reaction.
Apple Vision Pro starts at $34.99. It will be available early next year on Apple.com.
Oh my gosh, $34.99, $3,400, $3,500 bucks for the Apple Vision Pro. I don't know if that's something that I'm going to get involved in. First gen, I don't get involved in first gen things like that and put up that much money. We were having a conversation. What was the first iPhone?
$600.
It was $600. I looked it up. Yeah. $34.99 to get a augmented virtual reality computer that you can have at your home.
Yeah, I looked at this announcement as being like, oh, this is something that's going to change my life, but we're still a few years away from it, I think, being accessible to the everyday person.
There's so much that kind of freaks me out about it, honestly. Like people getting lost in their augmented virtual reality.
Yeah.
Also, like I don't know how connected you're going to be through it, like what are the capabilities fully of it. But they're talking about it being a full-on virtual reality, augmented reality computer. That's a wild thought. That's like, an out-there thought.
It's like Iron Man, Jarvis.
It is.
Or
it
Ready Player One, if you will.
Yeah. That's a very, speaking of that movie, very good visuals in that movie.
Ready Player One?
Yeah, very visually.
Great book.
Very visually.
Books.
Yeah, very visually pleasing movie. Now, we still have plenty to come on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Outside of this, we do have some Tigers to talk about. David Jones commits. DeAndre Williams still figuring it out. Christian Fowler will be next. Bottom of the hour, we'll get into the Blitz, and there's plenty as well there. But we'll be right back on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.